How often is that this vagina pH higher? Very often. Just think about oral contraception. So often we have a pH around the 5, and 20% of women complain of low lubrication of vaginal dryness. They just put a little estrogen in the vagina. They can take their pill or patch or whatever they want, have a very safe and efficacious contraception, but yet be protected by this complication. Think about all women having hypothalamic amenorrhea because they are on dieting, because they have problems, because they have distress. All these girls are more likely to have introital dyspareunia and postcoital cystitis or recurrent cystitis or urethralgia, urethral syndrome, whatever you want to call it. Think about the huge population of women after delivery. Nobody pay attention to them, and they complain of cystitis, and even more important, in terms of number, the postmenopausal women. For postmenopausal women, just adding estrogens in the vagina, topical estrogens, estradiol, estriol, promestrine, that are absolutely safe from any oncological point of view, can get these women again the pleasure of having sex with the husband or the lover or whatever, without paying any extra price with the cystitis.
So this, just a quick recap, there's three main issues to address when it is diagnosed: pelvic relaxation, modification of the bowel,
if it's hyperactive,
bowel, pelvic floor, and the ecosystem.
Vaginal pH.
Does this substitute the need for at least one shot of antibiotics to cure the acute infection if there is an acute cystitis, or there's no need for such?
No. We must be very careful when we describe the pathophysiology and the etiology of recurrent cystitis that we do have a predisposing, precipitating, and maintaining factor. So predisposing are the bowel problems, obstruction, obstructive constipation or IBS, the hyperactive pelvic floor, and the low level of estrogen in the vagina. These are predisposing factors. Then you have the precipitating factor that can be intercourse, but also when you have a cold exposure, for example, And then the maintenance factors that we do not address them. So certainly in the acute phase, antibiotic is indicated, but what we should do is not be minimalistic. This is my point. Antibiotics, God be blessed, are important, but we cannot rely on them on a chronic basis. One episode, two episodes, but at the very first time I meet a woman, I immediately check for the three: the bowel, pelvic floor, estrogen. So as soon as a woman comes in with a cystitis, of course I give her the antibiotics according to the cultural exam and the highest sensitivity to the antibiotic. But at the same time, I immediately investigate, and this is my point, the three predisposing factors: the bowel habits, the pelvic floor, and the level of estrogen in the vagina. So that the idea goal is that just one cystitis, no more. Because if I address correctly the three, if I explain to the woman and the partner, because if they come in couple, I teach to him and I show what it means tighten pelvic floor. I show how retracted she is. I teach very simple exercises she can do at home to relax the pelvic floor. I teach him to make the stretch as a part of the foreplay, so it becomes that kind of different intimacy. I say, forget me, but remember this, so that it can be part of a different foreplay. You don't feel guilty because she has cystitis the day after, and she's more relaxed because she feels that there is a complete and different acceptance, opening of the vagina. It is also an opening of the body without a fear. And then, obviously, I recommend to be strict and adherent to the recommendation. That could be lifestyles, for example, exercise at home, because you cannot change a tightened pelvic floor in one session. So by doing this, usually they can get rid of this recurrent cystitis after sometimes years of this problem.
So according to your experience from a woman who had a history of, let's say, 4 episodes per year, how can you lower this to once every 5 years?
Well, it depends on the age and depends on how much I can address the three problems, because sometimes it's not that easy. For example, some women require, they have celiac disease or so on, they have to follow very strict diet changes, and sometimes you have a very tightened pelvic floor, what we call the hyperactive myogenic pelvic floor, documented with electromyography, and we have to use Botox, because in these cases the contraction of the pelvic floor cannot be addressed with a simple physiotherapy. And again, it's very important to look at the ecosystem in the vagina and maintain a consistent low pH. So not always simple to do that. And another variable is the size of the penis, because sometimes there is a discrepancy between a very small titan female genitals and a very gifted, so to say, man. So even this is a problem. Sometimes I need more time to relax even more the pelvic floor so that she can accommodate the penis without having pain. The advantage that I introduced to my patient is that, okay, now we have to work more, but in the future, when you will have a baby, he will find a very easy road outside. And usually, they do have a very, very simple, easy, non-traumatic delivery, so this extra plus motivates them more, because otherwise, you know, it would be unpleasant to say, I have to do all this exercise only because I want to accommodate him and so on. But to go back to your question, it depends also on how chronically inflamed is the bladder and if you have already clear symptoms of chronic bladder pain. Because if I have a bladder pain syndrome, then it is more difficult to get back, because this means that the cytoarchitecture of the bladder wall has been disrupted. In this case, to go back requires more time, and sometimes it's not possible completely. If I intervene when the woman has still have years of cystitis, but not having continuous pain in the bladder, indicated that we do not yet have a continuous hyperactive mast cell causing chronic inflammation, then in this case we can get rid of the cystitis completely.